Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, just time now to look at the best film and TV releases for the week ahead. And we're joined today by entertainment and culture journalist Rory Cashin and Dublin International Film Festival director Grainne Humphreys. Welcome, guys.
Hello. Hi there.
Grainne, we were looking forward to the Fall Guy movie last week. You've seen it. Was it a nostalgic reverie for you?
Not really. I did get to, you know, go back into my past and think about, you know, how I was and who I was at the time. Didn't think I'd actually start feeling more nostalgic for 80 television, Scarecrow, Mrs. King, Last American Hero, all of those kind of things. I had a lot of time to think because I sure as hell wasn't laughing.
Okay.
I think the trouble with this film, to my mind, is that it's so in love with itself, it doesn't really allow anyone else in. I laughed once. And I'm going to tell you what bit it was. There's a good Miami Vice joke.
Yep.
And then they burst it by giving you a shot of something. And I think that's kind of where I landed on it. I mean, also, it's 2 hours and 6 minutes long. And unfortunately, I think it is that length because it keeps feeling the need to explain everything to everybody. And I kind of said, lads, we're all paying attention. We're all here. We're sitting up straight and we want to love you. It's got this guy called Ryan Gosling guy. Apparently he's big at the moment. Mm-hmm. And Emily Blunt. You think it's a rom-com between the two, but it's not. It's actually an 80s film in which a girl looks at a guy the entire time and says, "You're so brilliant." And I felt slightly left out. Rory, how did you get on?
I didn't dislike it as much as you did. Mm. I was totally caught up in the charisma of Gosling and Blunt.
Still, Rory.
I think they have this like natural charm that you just can't help but want to hang out with them. And I did think it was funny in places, and it was kind of romantic in places. My problem with it was that for a film about stunt work, none of the stunts really impressed me all that much. There was no one moment in a big action movie about stunt work where I was like, "Ooh, that will go down in history." As even though it actually did break. Yeah.
Okay, so between the two of you, every aspect of that film failed. There, you just picked a hole in even the stunts. Okay, so Rory, will you kick us off then on what sounds like a proper film? Kristen Stewart has a new wrestling film, Love Lies Bleeding, and you're not wont to say that something is one of the best films of the year so far. This is your latest best film of the year so far, yeah?
Yeah, I would be genuinely surprised if come the end of the year this isn't in my top five, if not the top 10. Like, it's such an exceptional, unique piece of cinema. Kristen Stewart and Kenny O'Brien, I believe her name is, are two women who fall in love against a very tumultuous, violent backdrop. This film is explicit in every way a film can be explicit. It got energy of No Country for Old Men. There was a fantastic film a few years ago called Blue Ruin. Reminded me a bit of that. It has some True Detective DNA in there, but it's also got some incredible Hulk. Randomly, like, it's such a magnificent mishmash of like several different things while also being its own thing. I can't recommend enough that people do go in knowing as little as possible.
Okay.
And come out. Genuinely haven't seen one of the best films of the year, and I think Grainne's nodding along.
Yeah, and you know, it's incredibly sexy.
Yeah.
A really, really sexy film. I mean, it's moves from a kind of operatic kind of tone down to incredible kind of subtleties. The relationship between the two is fantastic. Ed Harris, mad in it. I mean, absolutely mad. Like Jim Thompson. That's not that kind of pulpy texture to it. It is really, really film of the week.
Okay, Love Lies Bleeding. Okay, TV then, Grainne. The Tattooist of Auschwitz has been made into a TV series on Sky Atlantic and Now.
Yeah, I haven't read the book, so I I've only seen the first episode. It's very, very tough watch. It's about Lalo Sokolov living in Melbourne, in Australia, basically recounting his life to an author, kind of an emerging author, in which he reports for work duty, ends up in Auschwitz, and then gets a job actually tattooing the numbers onto the other people in the camp, but as a way of staying alive until he meets this this one woman, and it's kind of love at first sight. And the story, as I believe as it goes on, is about the relationship and how they try to keep it secret through their time in the camp.
And is it
done
in a high-end kind of a...
It's very high-end. I mean, it's, you know, it's that black and white greys that we know from this, if you like, Holocaust genre.
Okay.
And I find it very, very difficult to watch because I feel like we've seen quite a lot of those films, and we know that in order to nearly make an impact, they nearly have to ratchet up certain parts of it while the story is already obviously very, very difficult to watch. I thought it was really strong and very, very powerful. Okay. Harvey Keitel is plays the older Sokolov and recounting his time.
Okay,
the narration piece, no, yeah. And actually he's really good in it. And Melanie Linsky is actually the author. Those pieces are like the frame around it, and then you go back to the younger selves. So Okay. Very powerful. Only one episode in, but definitely one to watch.
All right. Now, Rory, on a different note entirely. So on Netflix, Jerry Seinfeld's directorial debut is a film about Pop-Tarts. I thought the film about the invention of flaming hot Doritos was the low point of this kind of thing.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to say controversially, I've watched a bit of it and I found it quite funny.
Bit of it is the clue.
Thankfully, it's only 90 minutes long. Okay. So, and it does kind of zip by, and there is a weird charge energy within the entire thing. So it's zippy and it's zany and it doesn't hang around on any scene for too long.
Totally.
So
yeah.
If any of the jokes aren't working, don't worry, there'll be three in the next 60 seconds. I don't fully understand why Jerry Seinfeld decided this was what he needed to do.
I'm coming back.
And like,
I've been waiting for the right project.
There is like the kernel of a magnificent idea in there where we've had these product biopics lately, like Nike and BlackBerry, and I guess you could even say The Social Network, sort of, but they're everywhere now. Like, you can't... It seems like there's one, or Tetris had one, like, one or two years ago. And there is a airplane-esque spoof version of that to be done, and this movie does it 25% of the time, and then the rest of the time it's just these random jokes, not seemingly about anything.
Yeah.
Like, Hugh Grant is Tony the Tiger, but he's also kind of Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, but he's also kind of that famous guy in the tiger suit from January 6th when they stormed the Capitol building. Like, it's all over the place, and it is funny sometimes, but it's one of the weirdest things I've seen where it's just like, what was the thought process?
It feels like a cult Christmas film. You're right. Okay. I actually think there could be a long tail in this one, as Tony the Tiger might say. It's unfrosted and it's on Netflix. And now, also on Netflix, you both looked at Netflix's adaptation of Tom Wolfe's A Man in Full. Grainne, I'm enjoying this too, so why don't you spoil it with analysis?
No, do you know what? I have a lovely story about when I read the book. And I remember reading the book and being so engrossed in the book that the world fell apart. And it literally did. And somebody texted me in the middle and said, oh, Saipan has kicked off. And I remember laughing because I'd been so engrossed in the large Tom Wolfe novel. So I was really intrigued to see what they did. And it has a great kind of like pedigree. It has David E. Kelly's done the screenplay. And you also have Thomas Lamy, obviously from West Wing and many others, and Regina King. So I felt slightly underwhelmed, to be quite honest. I think Jeff Daniels is a god. Dumber and Dumber, The Newsroom, everything that he does is nearly always brilliant. And I think he's brilliant. I think it's just around the story. And there was one thing that maybe that's why, you know, telling you when I read the novel, it feels slightly out of sync with now. It feels like it's a period piece that's right, as I said, just dislocated.
Yeah,
like there's
the
a very delay.
Phrase that struck me. You're right. Yeah. Okay. We'll let's leave that there. So, because Rory, The Idea of You is on Amazon Prime. It's a new Anne Hathaway film. Is this is inspired by Harry Styles fan fiction? Is it?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. So Anne Hathaway plays a single mother who goes to Coachella with her teenage daughter and their friends, and happens across, not Harry Styles, who instantly falls in love with Anne Hathaway, and the two of them embark on a relationship that puts her directly in the spotlight of the paparazzi and TMZ and all those horrid kind of gossip rags, and how women are kind of put under a different lens when they're the older woman dating a younger man. And there is some very strong parallels between the not Harry Styles character and potentially some real life Harry Styles relationships. Like, it's not difficult to pick that apart. Anne Hathaway is exceptional in it. She's giving this so much more than you think a film like this might deserve. And because of that, it makes it such an easy watch. It's genuinely nice rom-com, but with like some proper insightful drama going on in the background.
Okay, that's the idea of you on Amazon Prime. It sounds like it was written by AI, doesn't it?
Okay. It was written by someone who wishes they had met Harry Styles in real life, I'd say.
Okay, we'll finish on a couple of older films that Grania quickly. Whiplash on TG Cahir on Monday at 9:30. Worth a watch again.
When this came out, I saw it twice. I just love what it did to my head and my heart. It's, you know, it's a talented musician and his tyrannical teacher, Miles Teller. J.K. Simmons won an Oscar for it. It's just a heart-stoppingly brilliant investigation of kind of like, you know, music and the power of being, you know, super talented and I just think it's also a brilliant film. Damien Chazelle, I think, you know, I don't think he's ever bettered it in my mind.
Yeah.
And I can still remember what happened to my head in certain sequences. It's brilliantly shot. So look, you
Whiplash,
know, that's your Monday.
TG Cahir, Monday 9:30. And Rory, you've 30 seconds to tell us why Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace is going back into cinemas.
Oh, I don't know why. Money? Because it turns 25 years old this weekend.
Public
it was
demand.
May the 4th. And they just want to remind people how terrible the first one was.
Okay, back by popular demand in your cinemas, The Phantom Menace. Rory Cashin, entertainment and culture journalist, and Grania Humphreys, Dublin International Film Festival director. Thank you both very much. That's all we've time for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE radio app. Today's show was produced by Alan Torney. Research was by Katrina McFadden. Stephen Higgins was the broadcast coordinator and Dave Gibson was on sound. And do stay tuned for Justin McCarthy on This Week After the News. But to finish up, right, there was a lovely moment in New Orleans on Thursday. So the Rolling Stones played the New Orleans Jazz Fest for the first time after several attempts, I think. So in June 1964, Irma Thomas, the so-called Soul Queen of New Orleans, released Time Is On My Side as a B-side, right? Soon as it came out in June, the Rolling Stones got the record in England, heard it, recorded it then in June. They released it in September and it became their first US top 10 hit. So the sound isn't perfect on this, but on Thursday in New Orleans, Irma Thomas came on stage with the Rolling Stones and they did Time Is On My Side. I'll talk to you next week.
Back on the RTE Radio Player app. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.